Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
From the time that the Lord called the Apostle Paul to follow Him, his service to the Lord was focused on his desire to know and to understand the will of God for his life, and then what he should do with what he knew, no matter what consequences might follow. His life and his ministry rested on that fundamental truth. Paul followed the example of Jesus, who said in John 5:30, "I do not seek my own will, but I seek the will of him who sent me." And just as Paul followed the example of Jesus, we who belong to Christ are to seek to follow his example as well, to follow the will of God for our lives. And in the passage of Scripture that we have before us today, in Romans chapter 15, verses 22 through 33, that is the principle that runs beneath the surface of the comments of Paul concerning his plans and his desires. All that he did was subject to the will of God. And understanding the thinking of Paul concerning this principle might provide some insight for us and for our lives. In at least five of the letters that Paul wrote in the Bible, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, in Ephesians, in Colossians, and in 2 Timothy, Paul introduces himself as one who has been called by the will of God. And all that he did was contingent on his will, on the direction of the Lord, even when it meant changing his plans. Paul understood something that many people do not understand. He understood what the Lord had called him to do. And in Romans chapter 15, he made that clear, didn't he? That how he perceived what the Lord had entrusted to him. He saw his assignment as a holy calling, that he had been entrusted with a sacred task to faithfully bring the truth of the gospel of God to the nations of the world. He said that he had been set apart to proclaim that truth, the truth of salvation in Christ, and that primarily, he had been called to bring that message to those who had never heard that message before, so they might hear and obey the truth and be saved. Paul had a clear understanding of the will of God for his life. He understood his assignment. And so, as a result, he was able to maximize the effectiveness in that work. He did not become diverted. He didn't get sidetracked in doing things that he had not been given to do. Perhaps there is a lesson there for us, because we can become very involved in things that are good, but it is only those things that the Lord has for us, that he wants us to do, that really matter. And sometimes the Lord must redirect our steps to bring us back into line with his will, just as he directed the steps of Paul at times. For example, in Acts chapter 16, we're told that after ministering in the province of Galatia, in what is today the country of Turkey, Paul planned to head northwest into the area of Bithynia. But it says that the Spirit of Jesus did not permit him to go there. How this was made clear to Paul, we don't know. But we do know that instead, Paul was instructed to go west, to go into Macedonia, to the northern part of Greece. Our plans, our strategies for the work of the Lord may be altered by God so that we will continue to operate according to His will. So we are where He wants us to be, when He wants us to be there, and so we can do what He wants us to do. As we're told in Proverbs 16:9, the mind of man plans his way, but it is the Lord who directs his steps. And Paul knew that the plans that he had made were always dependent upon the will of God, that the Lord might order a sequence of events to redirect his steps. That's something we need to understand as things come into our lives. They may not be interruptions. They may not be diversions at all. We must consider that it may be the Lord redirecting our steps. And this is a lesson that's difficult to learn, isn't it? Because a change of plans, a change of direction may not make any sense to us at the time. So Paul tells the believers in the church in Rome, in verse 22 of Romans chapter 15, for this reason, dia in Greek, because the Lord has adjusted my itinerary, because He continually modifies my plans so that I remain in the center of His will, and accomplish the work that He has given me to do when He wants me to do it. For this reason, I have often, kalos, many times, too many to count, many times I have been hindered by Him from coming to you. Enkopto, in Greek. He has prevented me from coming to you. And that word, enkopto, that Paul uses here is an interesting word. It originally was used to describe a deep trench that was dug across a road to stop or to slow down an invading army so that they were cut off on their journey. So they needed to change their direction as they continued to march across the land. Sometimes the Lord allows the enemy to dig those trenches. Sometimes the Lord digs them Himself through circumstances and situations and through people in order to cut us off, in order to change our direction. As the prophet Jeremiah prayed in Jeremiah 10:23, where he said, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his path, his steps. It's the Lord who directs our lives. He digs trenches so that we continue in the direction He wants us to go. And if we're living according to the will of God, if we're living in submission to Him, then we will begin to realize and see His hand as He leads us and digs those trenches in order to redirect our path. And even when things aren't going the way that we think that they should go, we continue. We continue on. We continue to be faithful because we see His hand in what's going on. We see that we need to be faithful to the assignment that He has given us to do. So Paul says, from Jerusalem to Illyricum, for miles upon miles, he says in verse 19. For over 15 years, I have been faithful to follow the path that the Lord has set before me. I have been faithful to bring the message of salvation to the people of the nations. But now, he says in verse 23, Nuni, finally after all of these years, with no further place for me, topos, no further opportunity. No further opportunity to bring the message of the gospel to those who have never heard in this region. So now, I have turned my attention to the west, towards the very edge of the continent. Turn my attention towards Spain, which was a Roman province in the western frontier of their empire, which had become a thriving center for commerce and for culture in that day, a province that had become accessible because of the network of roads that the Roman army had constructed. So in the mind of Paul, the next great opportunity to reach the unreached would be in Spain. There is no evidence, though, that he ever got there. But that was what was in his heart. He had a plan. He had a strategy. But he didn't know. What he did not know was that the Lord had something else in mind for him. As we're told in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the purpose of the Lord, that is what will stand. The will of the Lord will be done. But remember, for the Lord to change our plans, we must have a plan in the first place. A plan that we believe is consistent with His desire for us. And so Paul says in verse 23, since I have had for many years a longing, epipothia, a burning desire to come to you so that I might see you face to face whenever I go to Spain. For, he says, I do hope, El Pizzo, I anticipate that I will be able to see you, the aomai, to look upon you. In passing, diaporiuomai, when I'm passing through, when I'm on my way, since Rome is on the way to Spain. As Paul had told them, the beginning of this letter, in chapter 1, where he said that he had been asking the Lord, even begging Him, that the Lord would allow him to be able to go to Rome. Even after all of these years. But, he said, only if it is the will of God. Paul wanted to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. Yet he still had that longing within him, didn't he? He wanted to share his heart with them so that they might benefit from their time together, so he might strengthen them in their faith, so they might encourage one another so they might minister to one another, and that visit might be mutually beneficial. And so he adds in verse 24, also, I would also like to be able to be there, so I am able to be helped on my way to Spain by you. Proempto in Greek. It's a technical term. It's a very specific word for help. It speaks of the custom of providing an escort, of providing supplies to someone who is going out to minister in a distant land, so that when they were sent off, they would be fully equipped. This is what I hope will happen, Paul tells them. Says in verse 24, after I have first enjoyed your company, empiplemi, after I have been well fed, spiritually filled up, comforted, and encouraged by our fellowship, refreshed in my spirit. And after that time, Lord willing, I will go on to Spain. But, he says in verse 25, for now, however, there is something else that needs to be done. Another trench has been dug by the Lord. So instead of heading west towards you, I am heading over 1,000 miles to the east in the opposite direction. I am going to Jerusalem to serve the saints who are there, ministering to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are there. Many of those believers in Jerusalem, as we might expect, were from a Jewish background. So for now, they are my priority, Paul reveals to us. For many of them are in great need. Many of them are in great poverty because there is great persecution there. Many of them lack even the basic necessities of life. So once again, the Lord has dug a trench for Paul. He has redirected his path. So Paul says a number of the fellowships of believers in the province of Macedonia, in places like Philippi and Thessalonica, and in the province of Achaia, in places like Corinth, these brothers and sisters in Christ who were themselves poor, they have been pleased, eudokeo, they have gladly chosen to make a contribution, koinonia. They have rejoiced to be able to share a gift. They have given generously and even sacrificially for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem, pitokos, among those who have no support, no means to live. Yes, those in Macedonia and Achaia were pleased. They have chosen to do this on their own. It is the desire of their heart. And even in their poverty, they have overflowed with liberality. But, Paul says, in addition to that, they who are in those fellowships in Macedonia and Achaia are from a Gentile background. And so, he says, in a sense, they are indebted, o philetes. They are under obligation to the believers who are of a Jewish background in Jerusalem. They have a responsibility to them. Why? Well, since Jesus said in John 4:22 that salvation is from the Jews, the Lord has chosen to bring deliverance from our sin through them, through the seed of Abraham, through the tribe of Judah, through the family of David, in the city of Bethlehem, where the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would come into this world. And he came into this world from the Jewish nation. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament scriptures for our salvation. For all who believe, it says in Romans 1:16, to the Jew first, since the Messiah first came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it says he also came into this world for the Greek, for the nations of this world. So Paul reasons, if the Gentiles, the nations of this world, have shared and been partakers in the spiritual things of the Jews, then they are indebted, they are responsible to minister to them, to the believers of a Jewish background, in material things, sarkikos, things that pertain to the flesh, so we might be one in Christ. Remember, Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 2, at one time, you were without a Savior. You weren't citizens of the kingdom of God. The word of promise to bless and to protect his people who were obedient to him was meaningless to you. You were without God in this world. But now, things are different. Now, in Christ, by his blood, by the sacrifice of himself, you have been brought near, you have been brought into the very presence of God, so that now both Jew and Gentile, those who believe, are one and have peace with God through Christ. The wall that separated us is gone. The wall between us and God, the wall between each other, has been broken down so that he might make us one through the cross. And the gift that Paul would carry to the church in Jerusalem was to illustrate, it was to demonstrate that unity in Christ. Therefore, Paul says in verse 28, when I have finished this important assignment, and I have put my seal, sphragizo, when I have validated and authenticated this fruit of love and of gratitude of theirs, for it represents more than just a financial gift, as important as that is, this is an expression of unity. This is an expression of love. So after I have spent time in Jerusalem, then I will go on by way of you, by way of Rome. I will go on to Spain. And I know and I'm confident that when I come to you in Rome, I will come in the fullness, pleroma, in the completeness of the blessing of Christ. In whatever circumstances there are, Christ, I pray, I know, will be magnified and lifted up. So, brothers and sisters, he says, for now, I urge you, parakaleo, I encourage you, I beg you, by the Lord Jesus Christ, on behalf of him, and by the love of the Spirit, divine love which now lives and dwells within you because he lives within you. I urge you to strive together with me. Suanagonitsomai, to agonize, to labor together with me in your prayers, to earnestly lift me up before the throne of grace to God, to take hold of God, it says in Isaiah 64:7, continually interceding for me in this spiritual battle. For it is a battle. Pray, Paul says in verse 31, that I may be delivered, ruomai. Pray that I will be rescued. Pray that I will be set free from the danger that I know is there, from those who are disobedient, apetheo, those who are in rebellion against Christ in Judea. For there are those who strongly oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ, just as there are those today who strongly oppose that gospel, even as they are all around us. And walking with Christ, walking according to his will, walking according to his word, does not eliminate persecution in our lives. In fact, it may intensify it. So it does not eliminate the need for fervent prayer. Pray for me, Paul says, and fight alongside of me in prayer, that my service for Jerusalem, diakonia, that the ministry, that the support that I bring may prove acceptable, you prosdectos, that it will be received in the spirit with which it was sent, that it might be received in the spirit of love as it has been sent to the saints in Jerusalem. So that when I come to you, I might rejoice, that I may come to you with joy, hurrah, rejoicing in what the Lord has done by the will of God. Thelema, as I am one with his divine purpose and plan. And so there with you find refreshing rest. Sunanopawamai, tranquility in my spirit. A renewed sense of encouragement. Unity in your company as we fellowship together. So for now, he says in verse 33, until we see each other face to face, I pray that the God of peace, Eirene, the one who is the source of our peace and of our safety and of our wellness, the one who gives us peace as we walk with him according to his will, I pray that he will be with you and that you might know and live in the peace of his abiding presence. That, as it says in Psalm 40 verse 8, you may delight to do his will in all things. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.